Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available at our website. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good evening. This is Transpositive. My name is Emma, and I use she and her pronouns.
My name is Jean. I also use she and her pronouns.
My name is Nicolette, and I use and them pronouns.
And we're here tonight with Shannon Batts and with Couples in Transition. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Yes, I'm Shannon, and I use she pronouns, and I am the therapist with my practice is called Relationship Gardening. So we have relationships that we're gardening here tonight.
I can see your flowers. They're very beautiful.
Thank you. I grew them.
My name is Brenton. I use he and they pronouns.
I'm Frank. I also use he, they.
We're a couple, Frank and Brenton.
Brenton came out as transitioning to male about a year ago.
A year and a half now, right?
Yeah, I guess it was it was May last year. And I found Shannon while looking for support groups for spouses in transition.
And my name is Claire. I go by she, her pronouns.
And my name is Isla, and I go by she and her pronouns.
And Isla came out to me about 10 years ago, and then about a year ago from today, I was also looking for some support as a spouse. We found Shannon through that process.
Great. Well, thank you. Welcome all to Transpositive. We're just thrilled to have you here. This is a great topic, spouses and couples in transition. It's a big issue. I mean, I know that anyone who's transgender or gender nonconforming or gender non-binary or gender fluid, or for that matter, anyone who's queer is gonna have to deal with telling maybe a loved one if they don't know about it, telling their family, telling their friends. It's something that we all have to deal with. And we live in a world where there's not a lot of really common narratives for that. There's not a lot of really commonly accepted narratives. So sometimes it can feel a little bit lonely and isolating to have that experience. And that's part of why we reached out to Shannon because we wanted to continue our conversation that we've had with Shannon over the years about transitioning within the context of a relationship. So Shannon, why don't we start with you? Can you tell us a little bit about what you do and tell us about the couples that are here with us tonight?
Okay. Well, I am a licensed professional counselor working from Portland, Oregon. And I also have a California license in marriage and family therapy. And I've been in practice over 20 years, I think it is. I lose track. And I was really alarmed by how marriages fail all the time, you know? And I wanted to have a relationship that lasted. So I really devoted myself pretty much single-mindedly in my practice to what makes marriages work. And then I did a lot of advanced study with the Gottman Institute to get to the science-based findings about it. So we weren't just going on, you know, winging it, but actually looking at what needs to happen. And because I have this relationship expertise, people with more, I would say, challenging relationship matters would find me. And so that's what happened. That's how Spouses Group was born. About 4 years ago, I had transgender involved, you know, one person trans in a couple come to see me in the past, but trans issues weren't on the table. We were dealing with marriage repair. So 4 years ago, someone came and said, "Help me stay in my marriage. I did not know this was going to happen. Help." And so the work I do is very structured and easy to teach. It's practically DIY. But that little piece, find other people like me, was what was missing. And find other partners is what she said at the time, this client. Find other partners. Can you find them? Where are the groups? And in my consultation with colleagues and trans-focused clinics, it really came clear to all of us that I should just go ahead and do this group because it was needed. People need that possible, you know, they need that really informed approach to supporting marriages to make them last, or relationships, even if not married but committed relationships. And so that's how Spouses Group was born. And then after a couple of years of that, the partners, trans partners, were saying, "Hey, what about us? We want a group like that. Can we have that?" So I started doing couples groups too for them. And I just find these two couples here tonight are a perfect example of inspiring couples, because the love and the relationship that they have will blow your mind. So I'm going to stop talking so that you can also hear more about them and get inspired about their journey and how they've changed and all that good stuff. Thank you again for bringing me back, Emma and Jean, and now Nicolette.
Thank you. Nicolette or Jean, would you like to ask the next question?
I had kind of jotted some things down. It's unfortunate that my partner isn't home right now, because this also kind of applies to us. My partner is, they made the decision that they are going to transition, but they're most likely going to have to ease into it, especially with the pandemic and everything going on. So I do definitely find this topic personal to me. I guess the first question I would ask is, do you have any advice for couples where one or both partners is just starting to come out or transition?
I mean, one thing that's become clear to me as I've been a part of the trans community is everybody has their own story. So it's kind of like parenting where there's no right way to parent. There's no like right way to make this relationship work. You kind of have to figure out what the needs are of each person and figure out how you're going to balance them. So that means everybody's story is going to be different, and there's going to be some couples who make things work because they open their marriage, and there's going to be some couples who make things work because it just doesn't matter. Like, you know, like there's different levels. And so not judging yourself too harshly for the relationship changing and making space for the relationship change, as long as you are focused on meeting the needs of each other.
Yeah, I think that's great advice for everyone, really. I know I have kind of an interesting situation in which, you know, I'm trans too, and when my partner and I had first met, neither of us were out yet, but I ended up figuring out what my gender was, that I was non-binary, and when I told my partner about it, they confessed that they were too, and we just hadn't talked about it yet, and this was like 3 years into our relationship. But I imagine that for some people, you know, if they don't find out until later in the relationship that their partner is trans, and especially if one of the partners is cis, I imagine that that could be really shocking for some people and hard to deal with.
I was just gonna kind of pivot off of that because, you know, the stories are not really out there yet, and I think finding a story with your partner is really important, and just being a team about the process. You know, sometimes that's open communication, sometimes that's more like how are you using we language, how are we gonna move forward. I think that is really key.
I think part of what happens when that initial reveal of what partner you're being trans is that there is a lot of grief around letting go of your pictures of what the future is going to look like. So, you know, like in a relationship, well, anybody in any situation usually forms some expectation of where they're headed, what that's going to look like, just pictures. And things are going to change dramatically once somebody comes out as trans, and allowing yourself time to grieve those things, because I am the trans person in this relationship, but I still have things that I have to grieve because I'm changing my pictures. Just helps you make space for new pictures.
This is Jean. I make this observation. Thus far, at least, this conversation would indicate that everybody here is in a situation where the relationship was established with no real foreknowledge of this, even as a potential, maybe.
Nice.
So I think we need to acknowledge that, because there are relationships where folks get together initially with at least some indication that this is a potential. Okay. I myself am of an older generation than most, I think, on this in this interview, and the circumstances in my age bracket tended to be, you know, pretty closeted. And so the reveal tended to be pretty dramatic, and much later in life, with children involved and careers and a lot more investment, maybe, not to take away from anybody else's, you know, relationship, but the complications tend to be maybe a little bit more with older folks, and that things have shifted somewhat, you know, over the last, you know, 20 years or so. The level of understanding, the awareness is, I think, higher than it used to be. But I just wanted to acknowledge that, you know, at the outset here.
Thank you, Jean. So I'd like to ask both of our couples the same question. I would love it if you could tell me your transition story. Maybe we'll start with Brenton and Frank. Could you tell us? And when I say your transition story, I don't just mean like the one of you who's transgender, like your story. I actually mean your transition story as a couple.
Well, we were already married and had a kid. So
So I think the best place to start the story is we were trying to have a second child in the, I don't know, the fall of 2017, which is the year our son was born. Yeah. And we were trying to have a kid at the end of 2017, and we tried for 18 months or so, some in the last 7 months with professional help. We were doing fertility treatments.
We were working hard and spending money.
Yeah. And we got the sense that it wasn't going to happen. We didn't want to go any further with what fertility options were available. And that led to some like angst in what our picture was, and us talking about why and what other issues it brought to bear. And I think part of what led Brenton to at least being able to tell me was us talking about the dreams that he had as a kid about what, about he, I don't know, do you want me to share this?
Well, so what was happening for me, at least, was I was feeling very urgent to knock out the other kid and be done with it. And I, not being able to do that, brought up a lot of, like, it was just really hard to handle. And so I started going to therapy, or trying to find ways to deal with this, and like started undigging things from my past, dreams that I had, and just the way that I was as a child, and not finding any outlet for that, and like burying things. I actually had a sister-in-law who'd been asking me periodically for a couple of years if I was trans.
This is all my sister, by the way.
And I'm just like, no. I am not going to engage this conversation, and we're not going to talk about this. And then I had to. But really, the way I came out as trans is Frank was like, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about this. I think you're trans. We need to talk about this. Hey, are you trans? I think we need to talk about this.
I don't know if I have the words at the time, I'm going to be honest, because that's not how I remember it happening. But I do know that I was recognizing the turmoil that was happening within him and calling it into the forefront. I think that's like the recognition. There's more to the story, but maybe we could take turns.
That's a really good start. I know it's you could write a whole novel about transition stories. That's a great start. Thank you. And Claire and Isla, can you tell us your transition story?
Sure. So I came out to Claire. I it's hard to even say come out, because it was something that we sort of mutually discovered gradually. I think for myself, I wasn't aware that I was trans until I was in my early 20s, and it wasn't like a single, you know, like light bulb came on. It was a very gradual, probably a couple year long process of sort of figuring out and piecing together that, you know, this was a innate part of myself. And so for us, we were able to go through that process together, which was both very helpful for me, but also I think was actually very good for our relationship, because there weren't ever any secrets or things that we were hiding from each other. It was just that we were constantly trying to unpack all of this. And so then I promptly decided that I didn't want to transition and needed to shove this all kind of to the back of my mind, because I wanted to prioritize my career, or needed to prioritize my career at the time. And I work in a traditionally very conservative field where it didn't feel safe to come out. So that was where we were for probably a good 6 or 8 years. And then really it's just been the last year or two that I've kind of accepted that, you know, this isn't going away, one, and two, is not something that I can just ignore and occasionally let out. And here we are. I don't know if there's anything from your perspective you want to add.
Summed it up about right. Yeah, kind of knew from the beginning that there was something more here, and exploring that together. Yeah.
Nicolette or Jean, would you like to ask the next question?
Sure. So, I mean, I'm sure we probably all know the answer to this, but how would you describe the unique challenges that trans couples face as opposed to couples where both people are cis?
Frank and I were actually just talking about this earlier, because I feel like, my background is that I come from a highly religious, conservative family. I was raised in private schools, like tiny conservative private schools. So there was already isolation there. Like, I definitely was living in a world that was maybe 30, 40 years in the past as far as values and what's acceptable and gender norms and all that. So one thing that I experienced that I feel like a lot of trans people can relate to growing up is that you are siloed, you're very isolated, because you are put in a context where you're supposed to identify with people that you don't identify with, and the people that you do identify with actively shut you out. So you're in this like constant state of feeling like a transgressor, so you don't really form good relationships, or relationships where you feel are fully authentic. It's really hard to find fully authentic relationships. And what that led me to, at least, was a series of abusive relationships, because I was so accustomed to compromising myself at every level that it just makes you an easy target for an abuser. So I feel like one of the biggest challenges for transgender people is figuring out what a healthy relationship even looks like.
Claire and Isla, would you like to answer that question too?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, we touched on this a little bit earlier, so I love being able to talk more about it. I think one of the struggles of being in a relationship versus cisgendered folks is the level of grief that does come with, you know, you sign up for a certain image in your head of what your future is going to look like, and some of those images can be very powerful. And when your partner transitions, there, for both parties, there's this level of it's loss of what was going to be there, and it takes some time to replace it with the excitement of what is coming. But that initial stage of kind of like seeing something that you had in your dreams going away can be a pretty powerfully difficult process. You know, then conversely, it is a very exciting process when you're kind of out of maybe some of the lost feeling of it, and in the excitement of the future and what that could mean that you hadn't thought about before. Because it wasn't on the table before, or at least if you go into it not knowing, I suppose, to Jean's point from earlier.
Claire, that's a great lead into a question that I have for the two couples, and actually also for Shannon, because I'm sure you've heard many, many stories in your practice. You entered into relationships already established, where I'm pretty sure I heard that that your trans partner was not necessarily out to you, at least fully. So my question is set in the context of the more popular trans narrative, which is, as trans individuals, we kind of like to say, look, I'm still the same person that you came to love. Okay? This is just more of me. How does that resonate for you as partners? Is that actually your experience through your partner's transition, or are you now experiencing them, as a different person? And what does that look like? What does that feel like?
For me, it was, I think that the loss for me was mostly what I envisioned our past interactions had been, what our story had been. Because the recoloring of him as male to me changed what that story was. And what's interesting to me is that sometimes it made some of the interactions that we had look less positive in future light, but other times it pointed out, hey, this has always been here. This isn't something new. This is something that has always been part of our relationship, whether we knew it or not, it was there. And finding that for me was really helpful. And I don't know, I had something else, but I forgot it.
I actually could pick it up from there. I love this question. Because what I felt like, especially as Isla pointed out, she was in a period where we knew there was something, and then we kind of stuffed it in a closet, and I feel like I lost something really special in that time. And then as she's come out, you're totally right. It is this feeling of it is more than, it's all the good stuff and more. I have my spouse back in many ways, during that kind of closeted time. There's still the values that, hard work and kindness and truth and those things that I really love about my partner. And then on top of it now is this element of creativity and excitement and playfulness. And that is way more than I was hoping to have. And it's very exciting as the spouse.
I would love to pipe in here as the therapist. I wanted to say that one of the commonalities among the couples I'm working with over the years transitioning is phases. So the first questions you asked about, what was it like, when you first, I think you wanted to know, Nicolette, about when your advice for first coming out and things like this. So what you're talking about now reflects back on that, is that yes, this person is the same, but what a first phase spouse is going to be stressing about is so much more than that. They will be more concerned about labels and what does this mean about my sexuality, and oh my God, you're going to shave the beard, and all of these things, what is my mother going to say? And then there's it takes a while for that to settle down and for the realization that you put out there, Jean, that you still got your person there. And that is partly of how we help get through this is to say, do you love your person? And yeah. One of the spouses, somebody might want to share that story that we pass along from another spouse.
Yeah, the every day you wake up and look at your spouse and say, do I want to be with this person? Is this the person that I love? Is this the person that I want to be with for today? And not for the next week and not for the next month, but is this person the person I choose today? And taking that day by day approach definitely at times of strife makes the task simpler, because you don't have to worry about, you know, how I'm going to talk to my grandparents about his transition, or how my Trump supporting brother is going to respond when we talk about it. You know, like, it doesn't matter. Today is today.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, I did get a bit lucky in that I feel like we didn't have to worry about that so much, because it just turned out that both of us were trans and both of us were pansexual. So we didn't care what the other person's gender was. And we were both able to just be like, well, you're just the same person. We're just going to refer to each other by different pronouns now. No big deal. But you do bring up a good point, and that is something I kind of wanted to ask about, is how you deal with families once the transition process starts. Because something I'm really worried about is my in-laws are very openly transphobic, and that's why my partner up until recently was afraid to come out and start transitioning, but now they've decided that they are going to do this. And so I guess I'm looking for any sort of advice for how to handle that sort of situation.
Yes.
I mean, people are going to choose to think about things the way that they're going to choose to think about things. You can't change other people's minds. You know, you can give them an opportunity to engage you on an authentic level, and you have to choose how much vulnerability you can take with you into that moment. But at the end of the day, people are going to choose what they're going to choose and think what they think, and that's not something that we have any control over, right? So setting limits on how much you're exposed to those people, and listening to how full your cup is, you know, how much stamina you have for dealing with that crap. There's nothing that makes it easier.
Claire and Isla, would you care to answer that question?
Yeah, I think, you know, we also had some family that we were concerned about their reaction, and we spent a lot of time tailoring how we came out to fit what we believed were their needs, in large part because we did want to maintain a relationship going forward. You know, so I think there was an element of, like, we set our boundaries in that we need to say this, but we tried to reach out in a loving way to say, we're going to say it in a language that you can understand at this point. We also...
Ooh, what was that language, Claire?
A lot of the context there, we just founded it in love, like loving terms. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, but we want to be involved in your lives, and we want you to know our authentic selves. And here is some more about what that means for us. And we talked about our fears, you know, exposing what some of, you know, like how us coming out could ruin our relationship with this family member, just so that they knew we were concerned and we wanted to make this work. So it was a lot of negotiation without having the other party at the table yet. You know, trying to meet them where they were at. And then, you know, like Brendan and Frank said, the boundaries, where our cup is full. And if right now you can't come to me with something helpful, or I can't handle what you have, you know, can we talk tomorrow? Or can I email you next week when I'm a little in a better place? Yeah, some of those have helped as well.
And I do have to say, for the most part, I have been pleasantly surprised. You know, I'm sure there are people who have opinions that they are not sharing with me, but they're choosing not to share them with me. And that is a degree of respect. So I'm like, great, you know, and I've been much more embraced, and people have come around faster than I expected.
I like that point. I want to not let that one go, is the people sometimes come around.
They decide that they would rather be in relationship than not, even if they don't agree with it. And that's not an open door, but it's cracked, you know?
I appreciated that Shannon spoke in terms of phases, because my own lived experience, having been through this some years ago, and I was in a relationship at the time, but there's two observations. Number one is acknowledging what Shannon's point was, is that this happens in phases. And then there's a colloquialism here that I love to use, and the proof's in the pudding. Okay? And maybe that's a little dated, but, you know, initially, those close to us are, you know, every worst case scenario, you know, probably runs through their minds at the time. And so it's really difficult to have the negotiation that you were speaking about, Ayla, at the, you know, in that moment. So it takes time. It takes time to demonstrate to those around us how this is going to go. And we have to give them that little bit of, you know, that space as well, if it's going to work for us. So it is a negotiation, and it is, it's a two-way street. No question about it. If you're going to have love, you got to give love.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. This is Trans Positive. This is a show that uplifts the voices of transgender and non-binary people. And we're very honored tonight to have Brenton and Frank. They're a couple in transition. One of those people is transitioning. And also Claire and Isla. They're another couple in transition, and one of them is also transitioning. And we have Shannon Batts with us. Shannon is a therapist and a counselor who works with couples in transition. She has a practice here in Portland. And we also have Jean Nicolette co-hosts on. So we have a full house here tonight. And we're talking about spouses and couples who are in transition, where they were they're together, and then one of them comes out as transgender. And they continue the relationship. And we're talking about some of the issues that couples have to deal with when they decide to stay together. So I think that, who has the next question? Maybe Nicolette?
Sure. Well, I guess this is more of a question for Shannon. Does your work ever intersect with other queer identities or kink or polyamory, anything like that?
The community that shows up, if you want, or the communities that spouses and couples are attached to that shows up, it does include those identities. And I find, like, kink and poly or BDSM, these communities I'm less familiar with. When someone comes to me for individual work or couples work, and they're like, we are kink strongly, we are poly, I will refer them to colleagues who that is their specialty, because I feel like, you know, we really need to be mindful about doing no harm. So in that case, I have not focused training in those categories. So I really like to defer. Now, when it comes to the support groups, so far our community that, I mean, our the participants that are in those communities are seem to be doing fine, because what they're getting in the groups is other spouses that can relate to these phases, you know, of embracing their mate and embracing their changes. And then we're very kind and respectful and open-minded about hearing each other's stories and being as supportive as we can as a group, no matter how it's different from each other. So I don't know, maybe our couples could talk to that.
I'd like to actually jump in with maybe a slight shift. You know, acknowledging that gender expression, I mean, when you're in a relationship, there's so many facets to what actually makes a relationship between two people. And, you know, gender expressions, those sociological aspects are only one piece. And we haven't really spoken much about one that tends to really be, you know, maybe it's not a dominant factor in every relationship, but it's a prominent factor, and that's sexual expressions. And so I would like to maybe hear whether there has been any shift, you know, any kind of real shift in, you know, in your mutual sexual aspect of your relationships.
And feel free to share as much as you feel comfortable sharing.
Yes, yeah.
That topic's even hard in the couples group. That is something we've learned, that they all are very interested in, but not necessarily publicly.
Yeah,
that's understandable.
It's difficult to do that within the context of the FCC radio verbiage.
But we are a very open collective. We do shows about kink, BDSM,
yes, we do.
Trans, sex, love, and dating. So yes. we talk about this. So, yeah. But only talk about what you feel comfortable with.
Oh, it may even just be like a yes or no question. Has there been a shift?
Let's let our couples speak.
Has there been a shift, or is it really kind of a continuation of kind of where you were at?
I mean, I've always identified as bisexual. And I have had more sexual exploration in my past prior to Frank than Frank did, I think, right? So
this is true.
One thing that's been true of our relationship from the get-go is that I've kind of pushed the boundaries of Frank's horizons anyway. And that's been something that Frank's enjoyed, I think.
I would agree.
So it's just like it's just been an evolution of extending our open-mindedness and creating more communication around sexuality, because I definitely have more triggers as well with sexuality than Frank does. So.
And I would also say, like, which speaks sort of to the sexual ideas here, that through Brent's transition, I was able to find a label that fit more for me, because I never felt straight hetero before. I don't know. I thought I did, but I don't think it's really there. Like, it doesn't fit. So finding my queer identity within our relationship was something that was unexpected for me, but also a change in the way that we talk about each other and others.
Claire and Isla, would you care to answer?
Sure. So I think for us, I would say it definitely has shifted certain things or a lot of things. Without going into too much detail, we've always been fairly open-minded and exploratory sexually. So from that standpoint, it's just sort of another different thing. For me personally, since I've started transitioning, I think my sexuality has sort of opened up somewhat in terms of interest, but we're monogamous, so that hasn't really shifted anything other than just how I think about certain things or you know, how I might conceptualize the world, I guess, a little bit differently. I think the biggest thing that I would say is communication is really, really important here. I mean, it always is, I think, to have a good sex life, but particularly as these things start to change, and, you know, I think particularly for the trans partner to be able to explain what feels good, what doesn't feel good, what you would like to try, okay, maybe that didn't work, you know, those types of conversations I think are really important.
Yeah, yeah. And I think to jump off of that, you know, there are stages where, you know, I don't know if what I'm doing is the best thing, like if it feels good to her, if it feels good to me. And sometimes, and this is actually one of the items we talked about in Shannon's group, is sometimes you don't necessarily make it about sex, but you make it about sexuality. So laying naked next to each other, or items that like keep it intimate, but it helps sort of establish where the boundaries are, and then, you know, how can we work together to make this satisfactory for both partners. I think what's interesting to me is that I feel like the labeling was, and Shannon mentioned this, it's like the labeling was really important in the beginning. You know, am I a heterosexual or a homosexual or something, you know, something else? And at the end of the day, I was really into my partner. And like, I'm an Isla sexual, if that makes sense. you know, hopefully no one else is. But with all love, that was what I needed for myself, is just to know that the interest and the fun was still there. And the label wasn't as important.
Thank you. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. This is Trans Positive, and we just were joined with our fourth co-host, Marcy Grace Frederick, and we're talking with couples in transition, and we have Frank and Brenton and Isla and Claire with us. There are two couples who are in transition right now, and then we also have Shannon Batts. Shannon is a counselor and a therapist who runs groups for couples in transition. And we are joined tonight by co-hosts Emma, Jean, Marcy, and Nicolette. And we've got about 10 minutes left, so.
Okay, well, if I could go ahead and answer that last question, if that's okay.
Please, Nicolette.
Yeah, so I mean, while I don't feel like we ever had to go through a phase of questioning our sexuality, because like I said, we both knew that we were pansexual when we started the relationship, even when we thought that we were cis at the time. I noticed that around the same time that we both came out to each other about our gender identity, it was kind of like something clicked where we realized that we didn't have to have a cis heteronormative vanilla monogamous relationship like everyone else.
and we could explore and figure out what felt good to us. So that's when we started exploring kink and polyamory and different sexual practices, ones that were more true to our gender identity, in fact. And so I think that was kind of the shift that happened for us. It was suddenly, oh, we don't have to be the perfect straight couple that everyone else thinks we're supposed to be. We can just be us and be what feels good to us.
Thank you.
Shannon, do you have any observations from your work with multiple couples around this question? Do you see any correlation between growth and expansion around sexual expressions, as it relates to couples staying together or not?
I think I'd like to look at it in commonalities, like what is it that I notice are patterns within the groups and over the years. And I think what I've noticed is that over time, all the stuff we've been talking about, the label, the past expectations, all of the stuff sort of falls away. And as a trans person, really starts to embrace themselves and get what they need and take care of their medical needs and their hormones and really come out of hiding as much as they possibly, as much as they want to, they unfold. I think Claire might have mentioned, or Isla, both of these couples here today are talking in ways about this growth process. And so as, just like in Amanda Jetty Knox's book about her partner, assigned male at birth, seemed very depressed and unhappy and getting worse and worse and worse, and then once came out as a woman, then so did this beautiful, more happy, happier, pleasant, loving person got let out of the closet too. And so I think that works into what this topic that you're talking about, sexuality. I don't know, I don't want to say more than I need to because I love to hear from my couples, but I think I got them going if anybody wants to comment on this.
I think sexuality and comfort with the comfort you have with yourself as a trans person and your comfort with your sexuality go hand in hand. I had to get to a level of sexual comfort with my partner to even talk about trans issues. Because there was trauma, but also just because I wasn't accustomed to being open about deeply, deeply intimate things. I don't really see them as separate issues. I feel like as you open up the can of worms of looking at gender identity and what it means for yourself and for your partner and for your relationship, that also opens up conversations about sexuality. And that just can, if there's open-mindedness there and good communication, that just makes sex better. Like, it just makes sex better.
What is it, the brain is the largest sex organ?
Yes,
exactly. Claire and Isla, would you like to respond to Shannon's?
Yeah, I think, it's everything that Britton just said. It's how, how the communicating and being open, I think there was fear at the beginning of, like, is this going to work? And that actually, made it really hard to kind of embrace each other, I guess you could say. But yeah, as you start to break down barriers, and I'm kind of speaking for you, Isla, mm-hmm. like breaking down barriers for yourself, I could see you getting more comfortable with what things felt good and what things didn't. And that made it easier for me as the spouse to engage and respond.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, a lot of the process has just been, yeah, like as, you know, I've gone further through this and like going on HRT really changed a lot of things. Just is hard to explain, but just like how things feel, I guess. There's like this difficult to describe or explain way in which things change. And so like until I understood that fairly well for myself, it, you know, I think there was that period where it's like, yeah, is this really gonna work? Are we compatible? And then it's like, okay, well, yeah, we can be. These are the things that are different. These are the things that are the same. You know, now I'm sure, you know, that's an ongoing kind of process.
Thank you. So we've got about 5 minutes left and we have a full house here. So basically everybody has about a minute. If they have something that they want to say that they haven't had a chance to say, I'd like to start by like giving people, giving Shannon a chance to tell us where they can reach you if they want to learn more about spouses and couples in transition, if there are people listening to the show who are transgender and they want to talk to a therapist, how can they reach you, Shannon?
Thank you so much, Emma. Relationshipgardening.com is my website. There's a lot on there. There's a little video on there that's kind of funny with me and my chicken that I used to have. And then there's me talking about spouses group, which is very encouraging. Like, I know you feel like you just jumped off a roller coaster, but hold on, your community is here. So the website, and then couplescoach@gmail.com. And those are two ways to reach me.
Thank you. Jean, Nicolette, do you have any final thoughts before we ask our guests?
I mean, I feel like I've already talked a lot as is, but I think the best advice I can give really to everyone, if you have someone that you love who's trans, a partner or otherwise, just always remember that they are the same person. They're not really any different just because they are now presenting with a different gender expression. And I think if you love that person, you'll try to see what you can do to make your relationship with them work, whatever that arrangement may be.
Thank you.
I think I do have one parting shot, my own lived experience after 33 years of marriage, which ended, we are still the best of friends. We are still the best of friends. Okay? So there's my parting shot.
Thank you, Jean. Frank and Brendan.
I think my favorite phrase from Shannon's couples group was this image of, when you're upset, don't let the chicken drive the bus. I think that's great advice. You know, especially initially, there's a lot of feelings and a lot of emotions, and just don't let the chicken drive the bus.
Because if the chicken was in charge, you'd be running into the ditch. That was the point.
I would say remember that there's phases and there's lots of things that you're going to go through, and some of them are going to be really challenging, but remember the love that you started with and remember why you're with the person that you're with.
Sweet.
Claire and Ayla.
Yeah, I think if I could say anything, it would be really, you're not alone, because there's a surprising community out there, and especially in this day and age of remote communication. So many of my experiences I felt I was alone in having. It's like everyone in the spouses group going through the same thing, and it was such a relief to know that not only was I not alone, but we had ways to make things work, and that was so hopeful for me, especially when things were hard. So yeah, not alone. There's some great people out there going through the same things.
Thank you. You've been listening to Transpositive here on KBOO Community Radio. We've been talking about spouses and couples who are in transition, where one of the partners has come out as transgender within the couple. And we've been joined with Shannon Batts, counselor, who helps work with those people, and with Jean and Claire, I'm sorry, with Jean and Nicolette and Marcy Grace. So thank you all for joining us, and we will see you again in 2 weeks. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, what a great conversation. Yay.
Thank you, everyone.
This was great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm.